I just have one. Pray for my continue to pray for my family.
We want to pray for Chris Carnahan, who's going to the hospital for his second round of strong chemo this morning. It takes 4 days to administer, and he will stay 2 more days for observation. And you were speaking of fires. They have some teenagers that are staying home alone, and their source of heat is a wood-burning stove. So they had a crash course with them on how to keep the fire going. So pray that they can survive without the parents.
There you go. Well, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you to pray, Lord, I do. We agree with Monica, Father, the prayers that she's praying and been praying over her family. Father, you know every situation. We could never enter your throne of grace and bring you information that you don't already know. Your word declares that you know what we have need of before we ask. You did not say, I know what you need, so don't ask. You told us to come and approach the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. To come confidently to the throne of grace, knowing, Jesus, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father and you are there to make intercession for us. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that because of your sacrifice on the cross, Lord Jesus, that every promise that Father God has ever made, that every promise is yes and it is amen. Whether that is a promise for healing or health or provision or protection or grace or forgiveness, the answer is yes. And with that in mind, Father, we just submit Monica's family to you. We pray, Lord God, for Chris. There's no one who wants to have to go and take these kinds of treatments. But, Father, we believe you are able to restore health even through a process such as chemo. God, we ask for strength for the body. We ask for strength, blessing, peace. We pray, Lord, for the medical staff to have wisdom to do only what needs to be done, nothing more, nothing less. And, Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus for a complete and full recovery of health. Father, I pray for my dear sister in the Lord, Tammy Yale, Lord God. Father, you know the condition she has. She's getting checked out. And Father, we have entrusted that matter to you, and we continue to stand in agreement with your word that by your stripes she is healed. Father, I hold up my dear friend Joe Pyatt to you, Father God. I know he's gotten a lot of prayer, but he needs a lot of prayer. And I pray, Lord God, and thank you, Lord, that you have kept him here and that you are his healer and you will never not be his healer. We release blessing to him in the mighty name of Jesus and to all those who need you, Father. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Love Boat. Get on it. Come on. Come on.
The Love Boat. Yeah. Get on the Love Boat.
Get in the Love Boat, y'all.
Get in that Love Boat. Yeah. It's way better than being on the Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. You know what caused the Titanic to sink? Somebody said iceberg. I said, nope. Wrong. What caused the Titanic to sink was the fact that the guy that built the Titanic said this. He said, even God can't sink this ship. You don't defy God like that. That's not cool. The enemy took advantage of those words. Put iceberg in their way. Then they disregarded a whole lot of safety protocols. There are a whole lot of people that disregard God's safety protocols. There are a whole lot of people that have the same kind of pride that that man had when he said even God couldn't sink this boat. But they all wind up in the same position, shipwrecked. If you missed us the first half of the hour, you can go back and listen later. But I'll tell you that we started out by Paul writing about how some people have abandoned a clear conscience and faith and shipwrecked themselves. They've shipwrecked their faith. And we're talking about how God doesn't want your life to be a shipwreck. He wants you to live on the Love Boat with Him until we arrive at our destination, safe and secure. A while ago, we were looking in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, and talking about chapter 1, Paul writing to Timothy about his sincere faith that first lived in his grandmother and his mother. And Paul said, I'm convinced now lives in you. And he told him, and because of that, I want you to fan into flame the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of my hands. We talked about that being fanning into flame your passionate relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And how are we going to do that? We went to Romans 15 right before the break, and we read simply verse 4. It says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, I'm ping-ponging you back and forth, but I want to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this time. 2 Timothy 3, and watch this. Let's see. Let's just go all the way back to verse 10. He says, you know about my teaching, about my way of life. Paul's reminding Timothy about all this. My purpose, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, my persecutions and sufferings, and what kind of things happened in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Okay? You need to understand that. Sometimes some people get shipwrecked by the fact that they think that if life is not going exactly the way that they feel like it's supposed to go, they must have done a bunch of stuff wrong. Well, I believe if you've done wrong, the Lord's certainly going to tell you about it. But He's not going to tell you about it by beating you up. That's the enemy's work. The enemy's the one that's trying to beat you up and tear you down and get you to quit and give up. He said, the Lord rescued me from them all. All right? He said, but look at verse 13. While men and imposters, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We certainly see that happening. But for you, continue in what you have what? Learned. In other words, part of our walk with God, a big part, is that we are on a continual learning. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. In other words, you're following the example of other people who walk with the Lord. But remember this, God didn't call you to be like your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. He called you to be like Christ. So listen, he said, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you learned it from some good folk. Verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Wow. From infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Scriptures don't save you. Jesus saves you. Faith in Jesus Christ saves you. But the Scriptures make you wise in how to live saved. See, a lot of people don't know how to live saved. They've never been saved before. I don't know how to live as a Christian. I only know how to live like that, and I don't want to live like that no more. That's bad. It hurt. It's terrible. So when we become a Christian, we've got to learn how to live in salvation. Because before you were saved, you didn't get up every day and thank God for the day. Start your day by acknowledging Him and inviting His presence and casting your cares on Him, and then getting into the Word of God, putting your eyes on it and reading and letting the Holy Spirit talk to you and writing down notes about things God says to you. That's not how you lived. If you lived like that, you were already saved. But he says this, he said, you've known from infancy, from the time you were a toddler, Holy Scriptures. That's awesome. He had the Word poured in him, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, here we go. All Scripture is God-breathed. That means inspired. All Scripture is inspired of God. It's God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What's righteousness? It's living right with God. The Scripture is how you learn to live right with God. It's as simple as that. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the man of God, or the person of God, may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. So without the Word, correct me if I'm wrong, without the Word, you don't get that teaching, that rebuking, correcting, that training. You don't know how to live right. And because of that, you are inadequately equipped. You're either thoroughly equipped or you're not equipped. You know why a lot of people, I've had to watch them not make it? Because they refuse to be equipped. I mean, if you've ever listened to me for more than 5 minutes, you pretty figure out I'm going to bring the Word. But I only get a very limited amount of time in people's life each week. And I do my best to try to inspire people to constantly inspire people to get in the Word, be in the Word, live in the Word, you know. So he tells Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. I want you to hear this from the Passion Translation. It's pretty awesome. Verse 16 from the Passion, 2 Timothy 3:16 in the Passion says this, God has transmitted His very substance into every Scripture. Now, when you're reading from the King James, it says, you know, the Word of God is inspired, and it literally means God breathed it. When God created Adam, the first human being, created him out of the dust of the earth, formed his body, but Adam was not yet a living being until God stood him up and breathed his life into him, literally. God's Holy Spirit, his breath, the Holy Spirit's the breath of God. The Holy Spirit's the life of God. when God breathes, the Holy Spirit is there. The life of God is there. So what is he saying? When the Word says that the Scriptures are inspired of God, or they're God-breathed, or here the passage says God transmitted his very substance into every Scripture. When you put your eyes on the Word of God and you're reading it with an open mind and an open heart, what's happening? God is downloading into you. He himself is in this Word. I'll show you something. You can hold it placed there or leave it either one. But go to John's Gospel, the first chapter. I didn't have this in my notes, but Holy Spirit's reminding me that this would be a really good thing to look at right now. This would be a really good thing to look at right now. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let that soak in a minute. He was with God in the beginning. This is obviously about Jesus. And through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was what? Life. In him who? Jesus, yes. But the him in particular is the Word. In him the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made. So the world was made by the Word of God, that is God. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who did? The Word. The Word became flesh. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you're reading the Word, what are you reading? You're reading God. I'm not stupid enough to say, think that this piece of paper between my fingers right now with this ink on it, that is God. I'm not saying that the Bible is God in the sense of its physical being. But the words that are contained in this Bible, this is not some book. This ain't Reader's Digest. This ain't Where the Red Fern Grows. This is the living, active Word of the living God. And what's contained between these pages is so precious that people have given up their lives for it. You and I wouldn't even hold this Bible in our hand today if people were not willing to die so that we could have it, because they understood the precious value of the Word of God. But a lot of people today treat the Bible as if it's just another book. When you treat it that way, I promise you this, you're going to have a shipwreck. Sooner or later, you're going to shipwreck your life, because that the Word is our source of encouragement. It is our map of divine direction. Psalm 119, verse 16 says, I will not neglect your Word. Whose choice is that? It's always going to be yours. No one can neglect the Word in your life but you, and no one can keep from neglecting it but you. It's a choice you make. Last Sunday, when I began to minister at our church, there's a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament that I wanted to share. It's about a time when a wicked king came against the nation of Israel. Sounds familiar. And what I was looking at studying were the tactics that the enemy used. And so as I studied on that and read that passage of that account encompasses 60 verses of Scripture. Now, most preachers ain't going to read 60 verses of Scripture, especially not on Sunday morning, because people would rather hear you passionately speak from your heart than read along with you. But what the Lord told me was, he said, I want you to read every verse of it. So we started in, verse by verse. Now, would point out things as we read, but here's what, honestly, I told people, I said, if you're taking notes, write this down. We're going from here to here. and it's 60 verses, but don't be scared. There are people, honestly, you say, read 60 verses. They ain't read 60 verses in 6 months. I've asked a lot of people in my time. Are you reading your Bible? Yeah. What have you been reading lately? I asked this kid one time. I said, you read the Bible? He goes, I read it. I said, you read it? And he goes, yeah, I read it. The whole thing? He goes, yeah. I said, how long did it take? He goes, man, it took me a long time. It's like 2 weeks something. I'm like, well, when I was in junior high school, they had a class that we could take. It was a speed reading class. And we got to use these fancy machines. It would take what you were going to read, and it would flash it in front of you. You wore these. And we learned how to read, basically shape reading words, really fast. You didn't even read each word in the whole sentence. But you learned, you trained yourself through this class how to read super fast. I mean, I guarantee you I can read at least 3 times as fast as I can talk. At least. And it took me 8 months to read the Bible the first time. And I was working at a crude oil refinery where I was on the night shift. And after, I didn't neglect my job. Don't do that. But we had, you know, our job was to catch samples off the crude trucks when they came in, load out jet fuel and diesel when they needed it, and check meters at certain times during the night. Well, during the night, not a lot of people come in loading out. Crude oil trucks do come in, but only use maybe 3 or 4 or 5 a night on an 8-hour shift. So we had a whole lot of time on our hands just having to be there and monitor things. So there was no problem with sitting there just reading the Bible, reading whatever. You could be reading whatever you wanted to. Some guys read, I guarantee it wasn't the Bible. They'd tear pictures out of the middle of it and put them on my locker just to torment me. They were anti-Christian. Bless their pea-picking hearts. I remember the day we all lost that job, though. I went home going, you know, the Lord is my source, and they went home blubbering and crying. I had faith in the Lord. They did not. The difference was I'm not a better person than them. The difference was we were all bought with the same blood of Jesus Christ. I surrendered to that, began my journey with Jesus, and fanned into flame the gift of God that was in me, and kept fanning it and kept fanning it and kept feeding it and kept fanning it. You want to have a passionate relationship with God? You want to have a love boat life instead of a Poseidon Titanic life? It's really not that difficult to figure out. And listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. Some people are not quite as honest as I am sometimes. If your life is a mess, it won't stay that way, I promise. If you'll start reading the Bible and doing things God's way and keep your conscience clean between you and God, I promise you, your life will get better. But I also have to be honest with you and tell you it's not going to get better, completely better, today. You didn't get there by making 1 or 2 bad decisions. And you're not going to completely leave that past behind by making 1 or 2 good decisions. But here's a fact. If you're lost and all of a sudden you found the way home, you got to put 1 foot down in front of the other. And every time you do that, you're leaving further and further behind that place of torment, and you're closer and closer. I'm not saying you earn your salvation, but I'm saying you walk away from the life that you've been living 1 step at a time. On the inside, everything becomes different. You no longer want that life. You want God's will. But it is a process that some people... Some pastors, some preachers, they don't always make it clear that, listen, when you give your heart and life to Jesus, you start reading the Word. It doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory immediately. But if your conscience is clear with God and you're making the right decisions, and when you're struggling, tell Him about it. Go to Him for help. Don't hide from Him. Hide with Him. Hide yourself in Christ. Don't hide from Christ. And remember this, if what the Bible says is true, and it is, every scripture, so where should I read? I think that the Gospels are a great place to start if you've never read the Bible. I started in the Gospel of John. Good enough for me, probably good enough for you. If the Lord leads you to start somewhere else, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you where he's not going to lead you to start. I can tell you this for a fact. I do not believe the Lord's going to lead you to start in Revelations. Okay? I'm not telling you not to read Revelations. I'm just saying that, you know, when I started school, they didn't teach me trigonometry in kindergarten. They started off with the basics. And the thing that we need to get most settled in and never even move away from are the elementary basic truths of our Christian faith. And don't ever let yourself think you've outgrown that. You need to keep reminding yourself that it is by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Don't ever move away from that, but then build on that. Amen. And remember this, every scripture in this Bible, from front to back, is literally God-breathed. He inspired it. He breathed it into the hearts of these men who wrote it, and it carries the power of God himself. I'm going to tell you that translation from the Passion one more time. God transmitted his very substance into every scripture, for it is God who breathed it, and he will empower you by its instruction and correction and give you strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of goodness. So if you neglect the word, you're neglecting the power of God. You're neglecting the direction of God. So today, make a commitment. Even if you've been doing it, make a fresh commitment. I'm going to freshly commit myself to the word. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me doing? Let him lead you. But by all means, do not neglect the word of God. Do not neglect your relationship with Jesus. Don't shipwreck your faith. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those that are listening. And, Father, if there's anyone who's not yet made Jesus Lord of their life, I pray, Lord, that I know their heart is burning within them and they're yearning to be saved. They're yearning to leave behind the past, the things that are hurting them now. So simply pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe what the Word says about you, that you died on a cross for my sins, you were raised from the dead, and I receive you as Lord and Savior. Help me now grow in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So that's the love boat.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.